On the line is Stephen Groose, the head of African Governance and Diplomacy at the South African Institute of International Affairs. That is the longest title on the planet, Stephen. We've got to do something about that.
How's it, Simon? Yes, just call me an analyst.
I think so. Thanks for that. We'll definitely do that going forward next time. So it's great to have you doing some analyzing on the show this afternoon because this AGOA story seems to be serious now. For 25 years, AGOA has given South Africa preferential access to markets in the United States, and now Washington seems to be saying you're out. So I guess my question to you is this a punishment or policy?
You're right. This has been a law of the American Congress since the year 2000 and has been renewed periodically. With the shutdown of the US government that we saw for over 40 days, that had started at the end of September, which was when this bill was actually promulgated. And it calls for the extension of AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, for 2 years, but it says South Africa must be excluded. So I think you can look at it as a punishment. The US is not happy with a number of South Africa's relationships, its policies, its practices. It doesn't like the fact that we are close to Iran and China and Russia and Hamas. And taking Israel to the International Court of Justice, those sort of things. And then on top of that, you have Trump's bizarre notion that there is a white genocide of Afrikaner farmers in South Africa, and rather poor bilateral relations at the moment. I don't think I can think of when they've been this bad. It can be looked as on as a punishment for South Africa.
Sure, there's two directions I want to jump off. So the first direction, in regard to what you've just said, can you kind of quantify for us how significant AGOA has been for the South African economy over the last 25 years?
I can't give you numbers, but it's very significant. We've got at least three major industries that are heavily reliant on AGOA provisions. So that's the motor industry, the fruit and vegetable industry, and the wine industry. All of those have been getting preferential access to the American market through AGOA. So it's in the hundreds of millions of rands and tens of thousands of jobs that are going to be affected by this. We also are facing 30% tariffs from the Trump regime, which was the highest in Africa and one of the highest in the world. So it's not insignificant. There are a lot of industries, the textile and clothing industry as well, very dependent on AGOA concessions, and this will definitely damage the economy and put a lot of people out of work.
I wasn't intending to talk about the G20, but when you talk about realignments and new alliances, it seems that we kind of have to. In your opinion, is Ramaphosa involved in a new arrangement of alliances globally at the moment?
As you say, we've just had the G20 this weekend, which has been interpreted as a success. The Americans didn't come. Trump boycotted, and then they changed their mind with a few hours to go, a few days to go. And Ramaphosa said no, he's not handing over the chair to an official from the American embassy. But as I think we've chatted about before, South Africa is a strong believer in the BRICS. The alignment of Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa with five or six new members now. But those are all voices of the global South, powers of the developing world. And South Africa is very strongly aligned to the thinking that comes out of BRICS and the thinking that it puts into BRICS. In fact, we did at SIA, we did an interesting study for one of the embassies, and they asked us to project 25 years into the future whether we thought South Africa's relations with the East or with the West would get better, trade, diplomatic, political, etc. And the conclusion was that South Africa doesn't want to have to choose, but if it does have to choose, the ties between South Africa and China and South Africa and Russia are getting stronger and stronger, and the ties between South Africa and Europe and South Africa and the US are being neglected. So the overall our conclusion was that if it does have to choose, we see it gravitating to the Chinas and the Russias of this world.
How do you think other African countries watching this development are interpreting what's going on? What do you think it means for them?
In one respect, I think they would have been watching this G20 summit with a lot of interest because a lot has been made of the fact that South Africa is the only African country, and this is the first time that these meetings have been held in South Africa. And South Africa did make an attempt to include other African countries. Some were invited as guests. The chairman of the African Union, João Lourenço from Angola, was also at the summit because the African Union has been admitted as a member. That happened in 2023. And therefore, I think African countries are paying much more attention to the G20 than they had otherwise. But, I also think that South Africa's leadership in Africa is not unquestioned. And for me, what's done a lot of damage to that has been the xenophobic violence that we've seen periodically over the last 15
Interesting.
years. I think it's left a very, very bitter taste in the mouths of many African countries, and they don't think South Africa takes it seriously enough. And so South Africa is not the undisputed leader of the continent, let's put it that way.
I've noticed domestically there seems to be a lot of support for the stance adopted by Ramaphosa. I've got no ways of backing up anything I've just said to you, other than the fact that I read the comments online. And it seems to me that people are feeling threatened and are what's the word I'm looking for? Finding strength from each other within the corral. It seems like that's what's happening now. Do you think that's an accurate reading? And I suppose related to that, what does this do for ANC support going forward?
There is a bit of the politics of the wounded, the politics of the persecuted. So it's very easy to get on the wrong side of Trump, and his America First policies is leaving some shrapnel and detritus on the road as it goes along. I mean, I think for a long time, certainly since 1994, South Africa has identified very strongly with countries like Brazil and India, and increasingly with China and Russia. I don't think it makes much difference to the ANC or domestically. Foreign policy is never really an issue, even when they try to make the Gaza conflict a major policy issue. The results in the Western Cape show that it hardly dented the politics there. So, I mean, I think South Africa is upset with the US. The Trump's reasons for going after us, claiming white genocide and so forth, are clearly
No,
spurious
silly.
and annoying. And I think that's put the backup of everybody. So, I think I don't think hosting the G20 will hurt that, but I don't also see giving that party a big boost, given how weak it is, and with our local government elections approaching in 2026.
Last question for you, Stephen. I'm just thinking, the three industries you mentioned being affected by the cancellation or the exclusion from AGOA would mean massive joblessness and really a bad, the worst case scenario for all of us. Is there any way that you can see that we could be retained in AGOA even at this stage?
There's always a possibility. It depends on the lawmakers in the US. Also, to stress that this bill has got a long way to go. And in a way, I don't quite understand why, if it can still be active, because they missed the deadline to renew AGOA, which should have been done at the end of September. Because of the government shutdown, that legislation didn't make much progress through Congress. So I don't know, because therefore, as we speak today, AGOA has lapsed. So I don't know if Congress will be able to revive it and give it a 2-year extension. I think there's a very small chance that South Africa could stay in, but all the noises that have been made point to an exclusion, because there's a very strong clause in AGOA that says countries that are eligible under this act need to demonstrate that they are furthering American interests. And a lot of what we do definitely interpreted as not doing that.
Clearly. Stephen Grust, political analyst, thank you for your time this afternoon and your very interesting input.